Hello, and welcome to the live book business webinar, Digital Printing Grows Up, How Book Publishers Are Capitalizing on New Printing Technology to Capture Greater Profits, sponsored by Gash Printing. I'm Ellen Harvey, Associate Digital Editor of Book Business and the host of today's event. I want to thank everyone who has joined us today, especially our panelists. They've put together some great content for us today, and I think we're going to take a lot away from it. I also want to thank our sponsor, Gash Printing, for making today's event possible. Today, we're going to discuss digital printing, specifically print-on-demand, and how it is introducing new levels of efficiency and profitability to the publishing industry. Our panelists will explain how publishers can leverage this technology to run their business more efficiently, break into new markets, and reinvigorate out-of-print books. We'll also cover how to select a top-quality digital printer and why a strong printer relationship is key for a successful print-on-demand strategy. Before we get started, I just want to point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, click the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with the question mark. Please use the Q&A box to submit your question to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but please feel free to submit them throughout the presentation. Please turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets at the bottom of the console. Your console is interactive, so feel free to click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn how you can customize your experience today. I am joined today by three amazing panelists, Stacey Victor, Production Manager at academic publisher M.E. Sharp, Deborah Lehner, CEO of independent publisher Why Not Publishing, and Angela Bowl, Executive Director of the Independent Book Publishers Association. Angela will be kicking off our conversation on digital printing. Just a little background, the Independent Book Publishers Association, or IBPA, is the largest professional association in the U.S., serving a small presses, and self-published authors. In her role as executive director, Angela works to serve the independent publishing community by providing advocacy, education, and tools for success. Today, she's going to help us define what exactly POD is and why it matters to small and medium-sized publishers and larger publishers as well. Angela, take it away. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Ellen. That was great. I had a little bit prepared to say about IVPA as an association, but I think you did a really good job. But we were started, just to give you some context, it started about 30 years ago as a cooperative marketing association, and we were called the Publishers Marketing Association. But back in 2008, we changed our name to IVPA, or Independent Book Publishers Association, to really reflect the growing concerns of independent publishers beyond simply cooperative marketing. It's still, of course, very difficult to get the word out about your book, but as you become more involved in indie publishing, there's lots of other things you're concerned with, including finding the right printers, as we're here to do today, and also finding the right business models for printing and distribution. So IBPA does focus on a lot of things across the supply chain now, in addition to cooperative marketing programs, which we continue to run. We welcome indie publishers, self-publishers, hybrid published authors into our membership. As Ellen said, we are the largest not-for-profit trade association for publishers in the United States, and we have currently about 3,000 members nationwide. And I think it's important to point out that IVPA isn't a hobbyist association. We really are a professionals association. We have a code of ethics for our members, and we believe that professionalism matters as you think about your books across the full supply chain. And to give you a sense of why I think it's important to know about print-on-demand and digital printing as part of IVPA, and as an association, we pay a lot of attention to digital printing, I thought I'd give you a couple statistics about our membership base, give you a sense of who we serve. This is from a member survey which we conducted back in August of 2014. Again, we've got about 3,000 members, and our member survey had about a 12% response rate. And you can see here, most of our members are interested in physical books. So despite the fact that there's a great deal of digital-only publishing going on in the self-publishing space, we know that's true, and we know it's so true that it's hard for us as an industry to get a sense of the size of e-book production in the United States. Even so, there's definitely an interest on behalf of our members in physical books, and I think that reflects their professionalism. However, we do also have a membership that is very much personally financed. So you're talking to people whose money, every time that they spend on anything they do, is a dime that comes out of their pocket and potentially out of their college tuition fund for their kids. So we do have to consider that as well. And we're also looking at a membership who has maybe different ideas of success. For a book to be successful for a lot of our members, we understand that they're selling about 5,000 copies or less, and they really do consider that to be a success. So we think about this in the course of what professional publishers are doing, at least in the IVPA universe. You start to see a profile of a member whose business is personally financed, who's going to be selling less copies than they would traditionally, not just interested in ebooks, but they do want to commit to printing books as well. So for a lot of our members, print on demand is a fantastic option, so we pay a lot of attention to it. And I'm going to give a little bit more information about why. And a little background. So when our other speakers come in and talk about some things and some terminology, maybe I'll help to set the stage on that. So most of you understand the way we were. And the way we were had a lot to do with offset lithography. This is, of course, the most commonly employed way to print books until, you know, almost when I started getting into the industry. It hasn't been too long since we've been doing digital printing. But offset lithography, the commercial printing process, the one thing I learned the other day, or I always forget, is why it's called offset. And it's because you're going to be transferring ink to a printed plate, and then you're going to be taking that plate, rolling that plate onto a paper that's being, onto a blanket that's feeding and rolling onto the paper. So the plate never actually touches the paper, and that's actually why it's called offset, which is a little trivia I think is interesting. The large sheets of printed paper are cut and bound into book shape. And we've been using offset lithography for about 110 years, since about 1904. And it's really how most major publishers print their books. So when you see a book, you're probably seeing something printed offset, if you see a book in a bookstore, for example. We've shifted to digital. Digital printing got its start in the 70s with the development of laser printing technology. So print-on-demand as a business process really couldn't be something we could do. It couldn't exist until digital printing began because it wasn't and isn't economical to print single copies using traditional offset machinery. If you have to make a physical plate for anything that's going to be made of metal, you have to run it through. It's not inexpensive to do this. So we needed digital printing to become a mainstream thing before we could have anything like print-on-demand. And even when digital printing became a thing in the 70s, we still didn't have anything that we could call print-on-demand because we needed to have the technology that could really run this thing for books. In 1992, we got this Xerox DocuTech. I'm just showing pictures because I'm totally geeky and kind of a tech geek, and I love these big machines. So this is the Xerox DocuTech from 1992. And this is arguably the first affordable print-on-demand publishing system that ever came on board. And we were able to use it because a network server option was added that allowed jobs to be printed digitally from a PC network. So that was 1992. I think sometimes we forget how quickly this technology has advanced in such a short period of time. So we've come a long way in 20 years, and now we have something called digital printing. And because we have digital printing, we have something called print-on-demand. And the point I want to make in this particular part is that print-on-demand, we use it interchangeably with this idea of digital printing, but print-on-demand really is a business process. It's a term that's used when talking about digital printing. It means it's a build-to-order business process. So when you order something, it's printed then and shipped over. So you could do this singly. You could order one book, and it could be printed in singled order, or a bookstore could order 5 books to shelve, and it could be printed when ordered. But the point is that print-on-demand is a business process. It uses digital printing. There are other ways to use digital printing as well, and I think the presenters might reference a couple of these things, but just to kind of differentiate them a little bit, print-on-demand is a form of digital printing. It's something that happens when a book is ordered and then shipped to order, kind of a build-to-order concept. But you can also use digital printing for print-to-stock if you wanted to run short-run printing, for example, of 500 to 1,000 copies. You could use digital printing to do that. It's a good option for companies who may want to use offset to do their full print run of the book once it goes out, but they may want to use digital printing and print-to-stock for the galleys, for example. Or again, for our members who might only sell 5,000 copies, print to stock is a good option, or even just traditional print on demand where you're going to print it only if it's ordered is also a great option. And just for your techie, geeky friends like me, here's what print on demand looks like on a warehouse floor today, which is kind of fun if you ever get a chance to go visit them. And a lot of people are using it today. There are some disadvantages. I know my publisher friends are going to talk about how they're using it in their businesses in a second, but from our members' perspective, I'll just point out a couple things to think about if you're thinking about print on demand. First, I'll say, actually, let me go back one second. Apologize for that. Why would we use print on demand? It's largely a pricing and inventory management decision at this point, in my opinion. Used to be plagued with low quality stigma. I think everyone here can kind of attest to that. People would say print on demand wasn't as good as offset, particularly in the way it was able to render pictures, but that's really changing a lot now, and the quality in the last 5 years has greatly improved. So right now it's really a pricing and inventory management decision. You ask anyone, they'll have maybe a little separate range, but I always think between 500 and 1,000 copies, if that's what you're going to be printing, you can use a print on demand, or you can use a short run print digital printing option. Again, though, since I skipped ahead before, a little preview, there are some disadvantages to consider. It certainly costs more per unit than books printed offset. The reason it still is a viable option, though, for a lot of our members who are personally financing is because it's less out-of-pocket up front, generally speaking. Even though it's cost more per unit, you're going to spend less on out-of-copy on the front end in order to get stuff started. If you're going to sell in volume, it's not a good option for you. And the quality and flexibility of formats, although greatly improved, is still not exactly what you can get if you go offset. So this is definitely a consideration for some of our children's book publishers, for example, who want to really grab quality images for their content. They have to consider what you can do with the digital printing in the case of the formats that they want to use and in the case of the image quality. I will say, though, we are getting some very interesting books in. This is a look at one, and then I'll go ahead and turn it back over to Ellen, just to show you that we're able to do some really interesting things, and I think the technology is going to get even better. This shows a digitally printed book which has continuous photo that bleeds off the page. So something that even, I think, 5 or 10 years ago we weren't able to see in children's books, we're really starting to see as the technology becomes better and better. I would recommend that before you engage with any of the books, any of the technology, you would get samples of the books so that you can see what this looks like. You don't have to look at my little office picture the whole way. So that's hopefully sets the stage of the different terminology that we're using and how we kind of see our members thinking about digital printing or why we think it's a great option for them to consider. Ellen, I'd like to turn it back to you so we can get some perspectives from the publishers.
Sure. Thank you, Angela. Next, as Angela said, we're going to hear from our publisher panelists. I'd like to introduce Stacey Victor. She's production manager at M.E. Sharp, a small academic publisher located in Armonk, New York. Stacey has worked in publishing at both Random House and Warner Books, where she filled the roles of both production manager and managing editor. And today she's going to share with us how M.E. Sharp is using print on demand and integrating it into its business strategy. Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you very much, Ellen. Hello, everyone. My name is Stacey Victor, and I am the production manager at M.E. Sharp. I've been here at M.E. Sharp for a little bit over 7 years. We publish a variety of books, reference books, textbooks, general interest books, and journals, mostly in the topics of economics, history, business and management, marketing and advertising, media and communications, political science, public policy, and public administration. Just to give you a quick history of our company, we were founded in 1958 by Mike Sharp as a journal publisher. The original purpose of this company was to publish translations from Russian in the social sciences and humanities. These translations were published in a series of journals the first of which was called Problems of Economics, which we now call Problems of Economic Transition. In the 1960s, the translation program expanded to include other languages, including Chinese and Japanese, other European languages, and finally we started printing and publishing articles originating in English. All of our journals are available online. At this time, we publish over 35 of them. I think the number is 37. Soon after, we started publishing scholarly books here in the social sciences and humanities with a special emphasis on international studies. And in the 80s, the book division expanded. And currently, we publish over 60 new titles a year in those topics I mentioned, economics, management, political science, history, and literature. Most of our textbooks are available online in digital editions through the Sharp eTech Center. I just wanted to quickly mention that as of August 1st, Emmy Sharp was acquired by Taylor and Francis Routledge. And basically the types of books, we have very standard trim sizes, 6x9, 7x10, 7.5x9.25, 8.5x11, and these are pretty standard in the academic market. We publish black and white and color. Basically here at Emmy Sharp, we do two color, not four color, and almost at least 90% of our books are published in black and white. Just a quick mention, though, if we do have four-color art available for our books, they are presented on the ebook version, on the ebook version that is online, so you will see art in color online, but in the printed version of the book, it would be in black and white. Most of our books are either paperback or case-bound. We'll occasionally do an odd type of binding, such as a comb binding. Our print runs are generally split, meaning some are in case, hardback, and the rest are in paperback. About 10% of our business is a paperback-only book, and about 5% will publish a hardcover case edition only. By the numbers, we have over 1,800 titles in print. The number of our POD titles is 800 and climbing rapidly. And just to give you an example, in a recent year, the revenue generated by our POD program was around $200,000. Our print models. So we're talking about offset versus digital. At a small publisher such as us, it's very economic to print digital at this point. In fact, the decision, if a printer has both offset and digital capabilities, they'll generally dictate what they feel our book should be printed based on the quantity of the book and also depending if there's any color inside the book. But it's definitely quantity and trim size driven. When do we use POD, print on demand? It's looked at on a book-by-book basis. Especially if we have a special order that comes in from a customer, we would be very happy to put a book onto POD for that customer. They might have a class or a special event that they want to print anywhere from 5 to 75 copies of a book, and that's an example of when we would use POD. Taking a book out of stock and putting it back into print is a wonderful use of POD. A book that we published here, say in the 1990s, that's been out of print, suddenly there's some sudden interest in that book, and POD is a great way to bring that book back into stock. And here's an example of a book that was put into POD. A book by Millie Bennett called On Her Own was originally published in 1993, went out of print in the very late 1990s or perhaps the early 2000s. And orders came in, and we placed it into POD in March 2013. Now, what was the process for this? Well, our customer service received an order for this book, which was out of stock. Then customer service will contact the marketing and editorial departments in our company. will meet and decide if it's economical and feasible to bring this book back into stock. If so, then marketing and editorial will put this order directly into production. Production receives this order, and we will retrieve the electric files for this book if it exists. If electric files don't exist, which is often the case for books that were printed in the 1990s, we will get an actual copy of the printed book, have it scanned, and have the printer scan it for us. They will send us proof for approval. We'll check it, and then the book will be ready to be placed into POD. So just a quick overview of POD here at Emmy Sharp. We began it in the mid-2000s. It has added revenue for our company well into the six figures. We are able to bring out-of-stock books back into print only when firm orders are received by customer service, and usually the minimum for this is three books. POD has become a very important and a very successful large part of our business. I do want to mention there are setup costs associated with every title. For the printer to bring this book into the POD process, but it's minimal, and the benefits definitely outweigh the costs. Just heading back into digital printing, which is what we use primarily here at Emmy Sharp, because 98% of our books are printed digitally at this point in time. We find the quality to be on par with offset printing, especially with our textbooks and our academic books. We love the turnaround time, 15 working days or less, compared to an average 20-plus days for offset printing. Also, we're finding that printers are getting rid of some of their offset presses as they make room for the technology and digital printing, and the press time is getting harder to get in the offset printing market, so the wait time for the final books is longer. Digital printing is less expensive than offset printing, and the quality is the same, in my opinion. And in terms of the binding, there's no discernible difference with the paperback or the case hardback binding. The quality is the same, if not even better. Finding the printer that's right for you. Communication is everything. You need to communicate with your printer. Your printer is your partner in business. Pricing is important. Everyone needs to save money and get the best possible price, but it's not the only thing. You'll have printers, when you send a job out to bid, come in with a lowball amount, and you really want to make sure that they're a reputable printer. You've been working on a project for 6 to 8 months to a year, and the printer is the final stage of that. You don't want your project messed up. You want to come out with a quality book. Also, don't hide. Meet with your CSRs. Meet with your sales reps. Go on a plant tour. It's really important to have FaceTime with your printers. A personal relationship will make you feel comfortable, will make them feel comfortable, and you will all take pride in the product that you are producing. Make suggestions. Complain if you need to. Communication, again, is the key. Also, it's important to keep up to date with equipment, with trends, and changes in the industry. You need to know what's going on. For instance, if the paper market has become tight or loose, you want to know, is there going to be trouble getting paper for a job? Is the price going up in the near future? You need to know this for your budgets, and you need to know this for your final project. And lastly, publishers need to have great relationships with their printers. Here, it's our digital printers, and that's the only way we can succeed in the business today. So I want to say thanks and take it back to Ellen, who will keep it going with the webinar.
Thank you, Stacy. That was great. Our final panelist hails from the independent publishing community. Deborah Lehner is CEO at Why Not Publishing, an independent book publishing company that's serving and developing first-time authors. Deborah is going to share her perspective as an indie publisher of digital printing and POD's benefits for breaking into new markets, as well as building up an audience for the first-time authors that she serves. Thank you so much, Deborah.
And thank you, Ellen. I am Deborah Lehner, CEO of Why Not Publishing. In 2005, life happened to me, and I felt that I needed to share my story with everyone who would listen. I sincerely believe that everyone could learn from this lesson learned, so I chose to tell my story in a book. But I didn't know anything about the industry. I didn't know where to start. So after my research, I found that the traditional path of getting a book published was not going to work for me. I needed someone to walk with me through the process. I needed it to be affordable. I needed the book model to be flexible. And I needed someone to show me the elements to help make me become a successful author. And through that process, Why Not Publishing was created, the best solution for self-publishers. Our mission actually is to be a reliable solution for self-publishers to tell their story on a creative and custom platform. We deliver top-quality products and services that drive results. Now, Why Not Publishing was founded in 2005, and began using digital platforms and printing on demand from day one. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the strategy. First of all, you need a plan. It's important to create the infrastructure that presents a clear understanding of your objectives before diving into these uncharted territories, which are really uncharted for first-time authors, so that the client's unique vision is a part and of this entire process. We know what works. We know what works for first-time authors, so we are very much a part of creating that infrastructure. The penetration basically means that there are elements that's a part of this process that in order for you to get this top-quality custom book product, so to speak, that will drive the results that you're looking for, you really need to be in the pocket. And so one of the areas I want to talk about that you really need to focus on and really get the best out of this is the printing process. So why printing on demand? Because we've used it from the very beginning, and I want to talk about some benefits as it relates to the first-time author and how it relates to us at Why Not Publishing. So let's talk about some analytics. We want to talk about the who, what, when, and where. Who are we talking about? Who benefits from printing on demand? For us, it's the author. And how does that author benefit? Well, one, you may not know, but years ago, there was all kind of fulfillment houses, warehousing, still doing that thing, but we don't have to worry about that. There is no warehousing cost to store your book. You have flexibility to update marketing materials on a regular basis. We have fast turnaround times for print production. We can even do custom and variable data printing through this process. We also deal with small volumes and specialty print job capabilities. So what are the benefits of printing on demand? Short run color at competitive prices for us. High quality printing that rivals offset. And this is important to me because there's some conversation in the industry that talks about the digital printing not being up to par, but we have found that with our printing partners, it is excellent. Unless you have an eye, a detail eye, meaning that you're in the printing business and have been in it for a while, you won't be able to tell the difference in these books. We all, one of the other benefits is on demand. That means faster turnaround. As you know, I meet authors all the time who ordered books and they are stuck in their garages. So, you know, we can reduce that inventory expense through this business process. Eliminate waste from outdated materials. You can update and use the process. It's personalized marketing materials. I can reach, or the author can reach, targeted audiences. So for us, that's the what, it's the, and so much more. So who is it that will benefit from this? Well, it's important to know which type of printing service to use, depending on the author's publishing needs. And before any decisions can be made about the printing process, I think it's important to have a clear understanding of the two types of printing used by most authors, which we talked about already, offset and POD. In a nutshell, though, I want to say that POD is very competitive now with offset and our experience here at Why Not. But there are times when offset printing is the right choice, and that is something that you would have to research and know what's right for you. In addition, though, today and for a similar reason, self-published writers use print-on-demand as a flexible distribution strategy that allows them to make their work available in markets around the world without making a significant upfront. The money thing is very important because it's generally self-financed. So without making this significant upfront investment or dealing with the logistics of shipping, distribution, and service. So in a nutshell, I think that the analytics kind of answer the questions on that particular string in terms of what's up there for the benefit. The niche market, it handles that. POD can make that acceptable, equal for those authors who want to use POD. The cost, it gets us in the game because you don't have to use the all of your investment in terms of getting this product done. So, again, that's some of the benefits. But what I want to do is talk a little bit about a few case studies. First of all, this first author who is the author of a wealth building book. His experience was initially he ordered 1,000 books POD. When you order these books, you get a proof. And when we got the proof, it was not bombed, but the internal looked good, the black and white internal, which is mostly what our internal pages are. The actual cover and the back cover looked good to us. And so we okayed it based on that order. And when we got the actual 1,000 books, it was horrible. It was horrible. And so lesson learned is that you really need to take some time and build a relationship with the printer. You need to know who you're dealing with. Of those 1,000 books, the author, myself, was embarrassed to give them to clients. This particular author has a network of over 80,000 people, and so it was not something that we were happy with. However, the actual printer at the time went 50-50 with me, and we had to redo it. And of course, I ended up finding another printer that I could have a better relationship with. And we also learned through this author that he kind of averaged out about, I would say, about 500, sometimes 250, depending on, you know, where he was in the country. Oftentimes, you know, he may need 250 right after he ordered a 500. And the digital printing and printing on demand allows us that flexibility. It allows me to be a great publisher working with these independent authors. The second author who did a biographical novel I think we have the right printing match then, and this person did 500 initially. And of course, remember what we talked about that went, you know, there's a plan, the penetration, how we came up with this custom product. Therefore, helping this author understand exactly what he was going to get, because the product has to be excellent. The product has to compete with other books on the shelf. I have found that in most of the local bookstores that they will take PLD, they will take digital printing books. However, on some of the national levels, we have problems getting this book with distributors on a national level. So I'm believing that that's going to change very soon. Because it's not so much of a big deal for us, because we have first-time authors, and they tend to, in that first year, you know, if they do 3,000 to 5,000 books, that's great, and from there we're able to work more diligently to expand them regionally and then also nationally. The next person, this is a teen's book, sexual safety workbook. And I find that most authors who are first-time authors are very, very excited about their work, their product, and they want to see the hardback book. And so this particular author ordered about 750, and as you can see, the next month, they only ordered just a few more. The next month, none. Again, that gives them flexibility based on their engagement. We do require, from a publishing perspective, you know, one-year marketing plans, business plans, and that gives them some idea or guidance as to how to begin to approach this market. And most of the people deal with what we call niche markets. That means their story resonates with other people. Lessons learned from their story can change the lives of others. And so we have to, or they together have to make that connection to that market. The word of empowerment, this was another error we made way back in the mid-2000s. Excited, wanted to order all of these books. You know, we did that, and it took a minute to actually unload 1,800 books, but they did pretty well. Again, most of the people that come to us who are first-time authors, they have platforms already. They're either business people or they're teachers or they're, you know, entrepreneurs who are changing their life. They're pastors. They are ministers. They are people who have a story that they believe can change the lives of others. And so they pretty much need the same thing that I needed when I wrote my first book. And as a result of that, I can really kind of help them with some of the elements that's needed to make that book profitable. So that's just some of the case stories, some of the mistakes we made with ordering more than we needed to, or when we ordered it and found that the product didn't look like what we thought it would be buying. And as a result now of having a good relationship with the printer, if there are mistakes, we talk about it, we work it out together. If there are other things that need to happen, we make that happen. My printer is my strategic partner, and I think that is very, very key. So for us, lessons learned, stay connected to the right process. Don't let people tell you what's going to work and not work. I think you have to really, really work with your partners and really find out what works for you and stay connected so that you can develop a partnership. It's really good to last, as I said, lasting relationships. Customer service is important. Integrity is important to us. And I also have to deal with a printer that's going to allow me to grow. My client needs to grow into e-books and put books on websites and all other kinds of digital things that are going on here. And, of course, above all, when you're working with individual authors as we are, flexibility is key. Thank you so much for allowing me to present Why Not Publishing to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Well, we covered quite a bit of ground on POD and digital printing today, so I'd like to open it up to some questions from the audience. We got a number in while we were going through these presentations. And first, I want to direct a question to Angela. I want to ask, what is still the biggest hurdle for your members when it comes to print on demand? What are they most concerned about?
Well, I think that the hurdles technologically aren't really there. The most concern that we get back or hear from is still this concept that there is a stigma, if there is a stigma, against the quality. But again, I think that that's changing, and I don't think it's true across the board either. I think it's just something that it's been a short period of time, and people haven't quite looked at what's new coming out of digital printing recently and don't really understand how much the quality has advanced. So we still hear that as a concern, but again, I think it's not as much of a concern once people educate themselves on the technology today. But the other thing that is a bit of a concern is we do have some retailers. I know Amazon, for example, will mark POD from other partners as out of stock. So it's something to look out for as you are considering the process so that you don't become surprised by some of the supply chain issues you might hit when you pick this business process for yourself, that in some cases when you would expect that a consumer could go onto Amazon, your print on demand, which is essentially means that that book is always available, you would expect a consumer could go onto Amazon and just order it, 24-hour availability. That's what we advocate for and we're really pushing for, but it's not necessarily what all of the publishers are seeing who are using print on demand businesses outside of CreateSpace. So those would be the two concerns I'd point to.
Thank you, Angela. I also have a question in from one of the audience, and this is directed towards Stacy when you were discussing different bindings that you use through your digital printer. One of our audience members asked, what kind of case bindings do you use? Are there any limitations to foil stamping? Example, the number of characters on the spine, and are jackets a possibility in digital printing when you're doing the hardcover?
Okay, sure. I think I'll go a little bit in reverse with that. Jackets are a possibility. It's not a problem. You can have a jacketed hardback with digital printing. You are limited with special effects. With the digital printing, you can have your covers printed separately if you want, you know, special coatings, lots of foil, lots of embossing. Your covers can be printed traditionally or sheet fed, and then you can, jacket your digital printed text with a separate cover, meaning that you can have a digital jacket versus and a offset jacket, but the actual book you are limited by your special effects. In terms of the spine, I'm not familiar. I haven't heard limitations on a number of characters. We've never been told that our spines were too crowded, so I would say no to that.
Okay, thank you. Another question from one of our audience members deals more with looking at comparing unit costs. And they ask this, I'll open up to either Stacy or Deborah, whoever feels comfortable. Was it difficult to adjust from a unit cost focus to a total cost focus when making printing decisions? Stacy, would you be able to speak to
sure,
that?
I'll go ahead. No, it wasn't. It was not a problem for our company. We treat it as two separate processes in the company. So we have our longer run costing factor, and then we have our POD costing factor. We just treat them as separate apples and oranges. So it wasn't a hard adjustment for us at all.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Deborah, I wanted to ask, this was a question that was submitted as one of our audience members was registering for the webinar. They asked, how can we use the distribution options available from digital printing to break into new markets?
Well, I think that's one of the advantages of POD and the digital, the house that you deal with. There are opportunities for Amazon and all the other houses out there in terms of fulfillment. They can actually order that one book, and that your printer through POD who has your manuscript can actually do one book to fulfill that order if necessary. So that's one of the great options that's available, particularly to a first-time author to get on some of those platforms and become available in those markets.
Okay. I also have a question for you, Deborah. We discussed this a little bit before, but what when you're going into new markets, have you encountered any difficulties in terms of getting into physical bookstores, and how are you approaching that? How are you getting around any hurdles in terms of stores maybe not stocking POD?
Okay, so far, again, I think the great thing about our market is that it's a first-time author, and I also think it's a niche market. That means that, you know, we have to do a considerable amount of research to determine the targeted market for this book. And based on the targeted market, then it's our job to reach out to those physical stores within that area and talk about the benefit of that. We haven't had a problem in terms of our book. We have had a problem when it comes to, as I said, some of the more national distributors. If they just don't, they're not ready to deal with the actual POD product, so to speak. But other than that, in terms of the physical stores, the brick and mortar, everything is based on relationship. Everything is based on presentation. If that book looks good and the quality of that book is good, then generally once you get into that store, you're in. And so, again, we are breaking into these new markets, and we expect it. So it's fun. Actually, it's fun. So we're not having a problem with that.
Okay. And we got another question in about comparing we have a question in about different types of printers and what is available out there for publishers. The question is, are there other printers who can do what Amazon does in ordering just one book, or is Creative Space pretty much the only avenue out there?
No, I would say Creative Space is not the only avenue by far. Lots and lots of others, including, I think, the sponsor, Ganache.
Okay. And we have So, Deborah and Stacy, I wanted to ask you, how are you planning to use POD in the future, and will you expand your efforts, and in what ways? Stacy, do you want to take that first in terms
Sure.
of what your plans are for POD?
Sure. We are going forward with POD 100%. We are expanding our POD list every single day. We're putting more and more titles into POD. It just gives us more flexibility in printing. We can help a customer who only wants a few copies. We don't need to print a stock. We also don't have to worry about our levels of inventory. Our biggest worry here is having books sitting in a warehouse that don't get sold. We don't want to destroy books, and we don't want books sitting around that aren't being used. And that's where POD gives us greater flexibility. So I think you will see print runs continue to go down slightly as the POD market expands, as it will for us and I think most smaller publishers.
Okay.
All right.
And we Deborah?
Yes, I in terms of going forward with our office, first-time office, I'd like to see a little bit more flexibility in the distribution strategy through my POD contacts to get them into other markets. And that's going to be our growth space.
Okay, great. Thank you. Stacy, when you went to the whole cost factor versus the unit cost factor, are you expensing all of the costs up front, or still applying it to unit costs throughout through inventory?
Generally, yes, we're still spreading it out. We're not doing it up front. We're spreading it out over the cost of the book.
Okay. And we do have a question about the number of copies that are sold for new titles and deciding how you're deciding whether to go with offset or with POD. This attendee says we've consistently seen that offset for over 1,000 copies and digital printing for 250 to 500 are 5 to 10 times lower than one-off or one-off POD unit costs. So how are you, I'll, either Deborah or Stacy, how are you measuring that in terms of new titles that you're, copies that you're selling?
Well, this is Deborah.
Right.
I'm sorry, go on, Stacy.
No, you go ahead, Deborah.
Okay, we strictly, this will be quick, we strictly do unit costs. And so we also, as a part of the planning process, so that the author can be a part of this process, which is very important, so that when we come to this product, we know exactly, you know, the number of books we should be ordering based on the number of activities of venues that we have to actually to sell the book. So that's the whole beauty of this thing, is that if we need 500 or our business plan, our marketing plan suggests that we have over the next 2 or 3 months these activities expecting these number of people, then we can order to make sure that we are covered. So to me, that's the whole beauty. And for us, we are unit cost.
Stacy, did you have anything to input there?
Yeah. With offset printing, for an original title, a book that we've never printed before, we're not going to do POD, generally speaking. For offset books, we usually go by, I would say, 1,000 plus to consider offset printing because it's just not economically feasible. For digital printing, 750 and lower is pretty much what we're doing for digital printing. Anything under 100, we would generally look at a POD model.
Okay.
Yeah.
And thank you for that. One more question here. What is the turnaround time for a POD book from order received to book delivered to a customer? Deborah, what have you experienced as you're using POD?
Absolutely, and this is a great question because I think when you have relationship with your printers, then you know them and they know you. So generally, 7 to 10 business days. But if I need something, if I'm in a real tight, because of that relationship, they may be able to help me. But generally, 7 to 10 business days, I can have that book in the customer's hands.
Okay. Thank you so much.
It can often, yeah, I think it can often be quicker than that even in some cases in using some equipment. I've heard of turnaround times as short as 24 to 48 hours, particularly when the business relationship is direct with the reseller. For example, Barnes & Noble is going to list every POD title as available in 24 hours because it is when an order is triggered through a BarnesandNoble.com, for example, that order is priority placed and shipped through the system and out the door direct to consumer. So it can be much quicker than even than that if it's working through the trade channels like online retail.
And I also think when I'm talking about 7 to 10 days, I'm talking about 500 to 750, 1,000 books. So
right. That's
a little bit different. Yes, in terms of the fulfillment process through Barnes & Noble and all of the, absolutely, I agree with that 100%.
That's quite amazing what they can do.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And one last question I think we can squeeze in here. A number of people have been asking about the quality of digital printed books and specifically the quality for more graphic-intensive books like children's books. Angela, I'll direct this one to you. What should a children's book publisher look for in a digital printing provider, and is this a viable option for them?
Yeah, it's still a really good question, and it's the one place I think where there is some give, where I can't remember if it was Stacy who mentioned that there are still some times where you want to look to offset printing, and that's the right option for you because of your concept of your business, the kinds of books you're publishing. What is the quality, and is it as quality as some offset? Not in all cases. I mean, we've already made the point that some of that fun stuff like foil and coverings and, you know, see-through and other kinds of laminates aren't going to work in a digital printing world, but other traditional stuff will work. I think the quality's gotten a lot better, and I think for you to understand if it's good enough for you, you should request these samples. And I know we already had one case study where samples came and it didn't necessarily reflect what actually was printed at the end of the day. But if your POD provider or someone you're trying to work with is not comfortable sending you a blank packet, a blankets packet already prepared and understood of all the different ways in which they print books, different file formats, different coatings for the cover, then I would recommend going with a different provider because that should be a standard package that they send off. You should be able to say, please send me samples of the work across these different formats I'm considering, and they should be able to rattle that off to you, no fee. If they don't, then I would consider going somewhere else. So it's a consideration when you're going with the print, with the high graphic stuff. It's still doable. I know some are still printing graphic novels now. Some have started printing graphic novels, but that's the one place where there's a little bit of wiggle as far as offset might be a better option.
Thank you. Well, I think we are running out of time here. So on behalf of Book Business and Gatch Printing, I just want to thank everyone for attending today's webinar. I'd like to thank the speakers. You guys did an amazing job, provided us with some great information. A little bit about our sponsor, Gatch Printing is a leading digital book printer that works with publishers, self-publishers, and associations alike. The attention to detail and personal service they provide to all clients differentiates them from competitors. And to learn more about Gatch, you can visit www.gatchprinting.com. Also, be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. Also, if you would take the time to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, we would be grateful. Your feedback will influence the webinars that we bring you in the future. Thank you so much all for attending, and again, thank you, speakers, for contributing your knowledge. Thank you so much.